And recording. So welcome everyone. I just want to start off by acknowledging that I'm currently on Coast Salish territory, on the land we call Vancouver Island. More specifically, I am on Sauk and Songhees and Esquimalt Nations. I would like to thank all the First Nations Indigenous peoples for sharing the land with us so that we may continue our love and passion for music education, and so that we can carry on these discussions to help us with our career as music educators. So thank you everyone for coming this evening. This is the third town hall that I've got to be a part of, specifically for BC Music Ed. And our co-host, Kristen Reardon McClellan, could not make it tonight. She is starting the summer learning opportunities at at the Vancouver Symphony. I think she says she might be able to join us, but so I'll be taking on the realm for this one. For those that I've met, I am Mandart Chan. I'm currently one of the music directors of Belmont Secondary School in Victoria. I belong to the Sauk School District, which is about where the western part of the Victoria area. I'm currently also the president of the BC Music Educators Association, and I'm very excited to be here today. Joining our initial part of the panel is Janet Wade. Janet, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jen. I am from the Comox Valley, and I work as a part-time fine arts coordinator for our district, and it's lovely to be here.
Thank you, Jennifer. Janet Wade.
Hi, everyone.
And did you want to introduce yourself?
Oh yeah, sorry. I thought that everything was like wacky on my screen. There we go. Okay, sorry. I'm Janet Wade. I am a music teacher in Abbotsford, and part of the BCMEA board. I'm the honor ensembles coordinator.
Thank you, and Michelle Reed.
Hello, everybody. Obviously, my name is Michelle Reed, and I am currently in Salmon Arm, BC, where I am lucky enough to be the Vice Principal of Music for School District 83.
Awesome. Thank you. What I thought for tonight was we're going to start off with a bit of a Q&A, specifically with Jennifer and Michelle, considering their very intricate roles in their districts in terms of promotion of fine arts, more specifically music. I've given these questions to them ahead of time, and I wanted to kind of get the ball rolling a bit with the conversation about scheduling and timetabling. The last town hall that we had, there was quite a few of us that were having quite a bit concerns with scheduling as we enter the fall time. I know quite a few of us started hearing things like quarter system and Copernican and everything else. So I wanted to pick the brains of those who work in administrative roles, who kind of help oversee a lot of district decisions and are subject matter experts at their board offices. And so they can maybe give us some input or some strategies on how to talk to our admin, because these are, let's be honest, these are uncomfortable conversations. And for some of us, we're not only advocating for our programs, for our students, and also for our careers. So we want to make sure that we do things correctly and professionally, but also at the same time to show our passion for our programs. I will start off with the first question. I'm not looking at the screen right now, but I'll jump back and forth. because I've got these three questions that I have proposed to both Michelle and Jennifer. If you could, because there's no hands up thing on GoToMeeting, when you do have a question, if you could go in the chat box and put your question in there, and then that way when we have a speakers list, we can also do the same thing. But I forgot one thing that actually we've forgotten the last other two was actually introductions from everyone. So if you did any of the conducting conversations with Dr. Travis Cross at UCLA, he did this at the beginning of each of the conducting conversations. In the chat box, if you can introduce yourself, what district you're in, what school you're from, and then we could all read where everyone's from. So I'll give everyone like 2 minutes to put that in there. All right. Hello, everyone, and thanks for coming. First question I have, and Michelle and Jennifer, whoever wants to pipe in first. So the first question is, how does your district handle scheduling / timetabling of music classes from K to 12? I'm also going to post these questions, this first question, on the chat as well. Michelle, your mic is on. Do you want to speak first?
Yep, sure. Regular scheduling, not COVID time. K to 5, and in some areas for us, because we're rural, K to 7, all of our prep is served through music. So a lot of our timetabling begins with the music, actually, at elementary, which we're very fortunate for that. So every student of ours will get... Right now, we've just done a new music formula where each division gets 44 minutes of music twice a week, without fail, K to 7. Where that differs a little bit is our middle schools. We've got two middle schools, and they're a little different. And once we throw in the explorations, rotation, and such, I have less ability to help with creating that schedules at the middle school level just because they're so complicated. But I actually create all of the itinerant music schedules myself. And with our goal up here, with people having to travel between schools, we try to keep them at a max of two schools. We have had to go over in the past, but principals will generally start their timetabling with music teacher schedules. So we're pretty fortunate. The secondary level is mainly derived with, obviously, student sign up. There's at least, we have about three or four main high schools here, and most of them have all of their music within the day, so in the timetable, which we're fortunate for. I think we get away with that because most of our students are bus, and that seems to work really well. I know at two of the high schools for sure, they begin their scheduling with the music programs. Other than I'm lucky, I think we've just had music as a focus in our district for so long that we're fortunate in that sense. And with this position here, music vice principal, I'm able to advocate for that and stick my hand in the pot where it needs to be to try and make things work. We definitely still struggle. Some of our secondary music programs are linear, or rather not linear, they're still semestered. So that's something we're working on. But that's the overall gist.
Thank you. And up to the Comox Valley, Jennifer?
Yeah, I think our situation is very similar actually to Michelle's. We are very lucky. Our prep time is also tied to music in our schools. So elementary schools are given an hour and a half of prep time, and they're mandated to make at least an hour of that tied to music. So they might choose to do technology or something different with those other 30 minutes, but at least 60 minutes a week, so two classes of 30 minutes each per week in elementary school is tied to music. So that definitely helps us to sustain our program. In high school, we are lucky enough to still be working linear. So all of our programs are linear. So we have band from the beginning of the year to the end. And things like jazz band and choir and things like that run outside the timetable. But it sounds like it's very similar to Michelle. And I think one of the reasons is, you know, we're fortunate that a lot of our music has been tied to prep. And also same thing as she said, we're living in a place that's very supportive of the arts and does sustain it because they believe in it.
Thank you. So our next question is your district changing their scheduling timetabling as a whole because of COVID-19? Jen, why don't you continue on?
Yeah, sure. Yes, my school in particular, because I teach part-time as well, we have moved to, we're gonna continue with our four block system like we have. So we'll have an ABCD, and we'll also technically have an EFGH. However, it also, they figured out a way to change that schedule into a COVID friendly schedule. So it would be AB in the morning for one group of students, A to K, I think it is. And then it would be CD in the afternoon for another group of students, with the last names being different, and then just flips. The next day, the kids that were in the afternoon on Monday would come in the morning, and those kids would go in the afternoon. So the schedule can run as is all year, just like it is if we have no issues. But as soon as we do have an issue where we have to go to part-time schooling with only half kids in class, it can easily flip to that schedule. And that also includes a day in the middle on Wednesday for technology teaching, so for online teaching. So if kids stay home, we support their learning through technology. If we don't need to use it because everything's fine and we're back status quo, that's great. But it's already been implemented so that we're ready for it. I know that that's happening in two of the schools. The third school is a bit of a wild card. They didn't actually really talk about their schedule with their teachers because I did talk to them. And so they're kind of waiting to see what unfolds there.
Is there anything changing in the Cohox Valley in terms of elementary school music?
Elementary schools were told they're back status quo in the fall. What I told the elementary school teachers at our last meeting was they need kind of a three-part system prepared. So status quo is great, but they also need to have an idea of lesson plans planned should they go down to half class sizes and what that would look like for their resources. And what their daily schedule would look like. So they're starting now to kind of prepare for that. They may or may not use it, but if it does come to that situation, they'll be ready for it because I think they need to be. Otherwise, that's when we start to lose music classes and they get reallocated to different things. We've also, we have quite a storage space of instrumentation. So we have like, I think it's three class sets, 90 guitars, we have 60 ukuleles, we have chone chimes, we have bucket drums, we have drums alive. All of these things are lent out to the schools during the year. And so we've put those together in groupings of 60s so that they can cover two classes with those. And in that way, they could say, we're gonna do guitar with grade sevens if we have two classes of guitars. And one kid uses the same guitar for 3 months before it rotates to another school. And they're able to use it. So as far as having enough resources, we're trying to cover that by making sure that schools have tools that they can use with their kids if they do get into a situation where they can only use ukuleles with one group, one grade level or something like that.
Thank you for sharing. Michelle, same question.
Thank you. Yeah, Jennifer, that sounds really similar to what we're dealing with here. Your guys' take on the half day attendance, but students coming 4 days a week. That's interesting. Just before I go into mine, can I just ask you real quick, is your district increasing their busing then if you've got kids coming for half days?
We only bus to one of our high schools. So And honestly, that's the school that hasn't committed to a timetable yet. And that's probably one of the reasons that they haven't. So I don't really know. I haven't had a chance to connect with the woman who is teaching music there is actually out right now on medical leave. And when I tried to get a hold of the principal, I wasn't able to. So I'm going to say that that's probably one of their conundrums right now, as far as scheduling goes, is the busing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fair. So for us here, we are, from the admin standpoint, we've been told by our superintendent that we are waiting hard fast until the August 17th announcement from the minister. So we have not told any of our schools or staff what the plan is. They've just asked administrators to have kind of that, like you say, that three-part what if proposal in place. The chatter around here right now for high schools is with the halftime based on alphabet, which we've taken one step further for our music programming and suggested the following. We wouldn't be able to do the half morning thing. We would be full day. So whether it's A to K or A to H, whatever, would be Monday and Thursday. And so you would see your music ensembles as normal, appropriately spaced, still playing, still singing, providing you have the space to do so. Monday, Thursday, the first group, Tuesday, Friday, the second group. And what we're attempting to push, if we can, when we can, is that Wednesdays for us, rather than being a home learning day, would actually be an ensemble day where we could book the school gym. And we could have those ensembles running. And with the linear classes, it would be every other week, but it's better than nothing. And just with the goal of really trying to keep things as status quo, in quotes, as we can, so that our programs stay intact. So that's the high school chatter at the moment. Elementary, we're just waiting. But what we have done, like in June, is we've done the same thing where we combined some classes, the half-size classes for the music teacher, and used the gym and had them appropriately spaced. That gave the music teacher time to do any kind of cleaning or reset up of gear that they needed to, rather than having that rush of back to back with no minute transitions. So that's still a maybe for us, depending how things go, is using the gym to alleviate the safety and cleaning around the elementary music room.
One thing I would add, if I could, I forgot about it, but in that timetable that I mentioned where we go into a split alphabet scenario, the principal had actually allocated, so the class time went down from 1:15 per class to an hour per class, and he had allocated 50 minutes in the morning at the very beginning of the day for classes that are special classes. So things like music, shops, foods classes, things like that. And they were going to have those 50 minutes in the morning to bring kids in and work with them. So whether that was small ensemble, jazz band, or like you say, running a rehearsal in the gym, that time was supposed to be allocated for those groups. So similar to yours, although I do like the full day idea way better.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. I'll write that down too. We had discussed that the sort of four block, keeping the ABCD. Certainly we're not, we don't want to talk about Copernican and things like that. Yeah. But having that fifth block, I guess, as you're suggesting for those specialty areas. Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. And then to our third question for the both of you. How would you help / support a teacher in your district where they're having issues with their admin in regards to changing schedules and timetables in terms of COVID-19 for the fall?
This one for me, I think, is a little easier because I'm technically admin as well. And the administrators in our district turn to me for that anyways. I do offer to be present for those conversations should our teachers need them. But what I have found is that the relationships between the site-based administrator and the music teacher is much more important to begin with. And they're working on creative solutions that suit their school. So this year we had many different versions of elementary music in those buildings for June. So I'm not sure how much I can really help with that, because I know that not everyone has access to an administrator.
Yeah, my situation different because I'm a teacher, so it becomes a little bit more precarious. But I agree, most of our teachers have been able to establish really positive relationships with their admin in their school, and so that goes a long way for them to maintaining their music programs. we again had a wide variety of what was happening in the schools in June, but most people were teaching some form of music in their building, and some were doing regular full-on programs. So just depending on their level of comfort, I think, and a lot of the times it was the teachers who were more experienced too. They just kind of carried on status quo because that's what they wanted to see their program doing. And I think that's probably what they'll do in the fall as well.
Okay. So are there any questions for Michelle or Jen before we move on to a round table? All right. Jody, would you like to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Sure. So in our district, all of our music teachers and basically non-enrollings were redeployed to staff the ESW hubs. It is looking in the fall that if we are not back to 100%, that this will continue to happen, which means that all of our programs will be canceled for the foreseeable future. I have set up a PowerPoint. I have requested meetings with my union, with our assistant superintendent, who is in charge of fine arts, but I'm getting nowhere. No one will meet with me. Does anyone have any suggestions? Where do we go from here?
Jody, what district are you in?
42.
Okay. I'm going to email the BCTF. When June 1st was coming along, my district was one of the ones that came and said, we're going to redeploy teachers. And when I brought up that question to BCTF, they said for June, it's okay because it's emergency teaching. However, for fall, that should not be happening. I have been keeping a running tab. Anytime that I hear a district saying that, I am passing over to BCTF and Graham Rainey, who is the coordinator for all of the PSAs, are talking directly to the full-time table officers, and they're talking directly to the Ministry of Education to say, this district has said this. I will not mention your name, but I will say SD42 is doing this right now.
We don't have confirmation, but it's everything is leading to that fact, and the fact that nobody will even talk to us is concerning.
Okay. If you can, and this goes for everyone, aside from our independent teachers, I'm sorry, I don't have any say on yet. But for public schools, the moment that you hear official word that this is happening, that particularly for our colleagues in elementary, if it looks like your position has been redeployed starting in the fall, that should not be happening. And Terry Mooring has said that very specifically, in particular to music. So if this does happen, please email me right away. Those that have emailed me know that I answer pretty much in the first 5 minutes. I will send it up to BCTF right away as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm going to start off the round table if I could. Sorry, unless are there any other questions specifically for Jen and Michelle?
Mandarin, I was just going to add for Jody, I don't know how the communication is with your music teachers in your district, but something that I did up here for that exact reason to protect our music teachers is right out the gate, you know, establish that music is required. We need to teach this still, COVID or not. And our district music team created sort of action groups, and we presented material as a district. So our online music instruction, we created it as a music staff together, and then it was delivered through classroom teachers, which sort of morphed into each music teacher having their own Google Classroom or whatever. But I do wonder if that's something to consider with your fellow music teachers in your district to take that united front as a group, if that would help at all. But I understand you're falling on deaf ears, but I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, we have been approaching this as a whole group, but doesn't seem to be helping yet.
We're going to start off with the round table. I'm going to ask the same question specifically to Jenna Wade. How would you help slash support a teacher in your district when they're having issues with their admin in regards to changing schedules and timetables? And just a reminder that this is being recorded. So, you know, if you want to, take out some names, you totally can.
Yeah. Helping to support a teacher, if they're having issues. So, the biggest thing that in my experience in dealing with timetable issues is that I always really try and focus on students and what students need and what is best for students, because if it appears as though we're advocating for our jobs, it doesn't have the effect that we intend, because at the heart of everything, what we are doing is we are advocating for our students and what their choices are and what they want. So first of all, any discussion that I have with administrators surrounding timetabling, it's always to support students and their choices. The other thing that I would say when it comes to supporting teachers is I would say we're going to have to give and take a little bit this coming year, and it's not going to look the same, and it's unfortunate and it's sad because I think we're all kind of feeling a sense of loss and a sense of grief over that right now. But trying to be as creative as you possibly can in coming up with solutions and being collaborative in any way that you can, I think is absolutely at the heart of what we really, really need to be doing right now. Music in any form is better than no music. And that's the big takeaway right now, is that we just need to make sure that our kids have some music. And however admin is willing to do that, just be creative in your approaches. And if you're struggling to come up with creative ideas, then that's when you need to reach out to other teachers and see what creative solutions they have come up with. Start talking to other colleagues, start talking and sending emails to people, just see who can help and what suggestions. And I mean, myself, I've had a number of teachers send me the proposed timetables from their admin and say, okay, so how do I make this work? And I mean, I'm certainly not gonna by any stretch say that I've got all the solutions, but I can offer ideas. And so, you know, doing that with your colleagues and your friends and other music teachers, I think is absolutely important.
Thank you, Janet. So the first official roundtable question, and this goes for anyone in the room, it's on the chat as well. So how is your admin handling COVID-19 / return to school for fall 2020? I know that a lot of our admin have no idea because we don't know, but those who have, who want to share what some of their ideas are. To break the ice, I will say that my admin at Belmont and pretty much across the board, the three high schools in my district have planned for fall scheduling to be as normal. And we're a semestered school, but music is still run linear. So we have half music classes are outside timetable, half are inside. And the way that we run it is that, for instance, choir and jazz band are linear and they're every other day, so they back each other. And those students who are in one but not the other have either PE on one side or have a social studies block that's linear. So that's how we do it. A couple of people on the side. Karen, would you like to speak?
Sure. Yeah. I just wanted to say I'm very lucky because I have some really good teams to work with. At Mount Douglas, I work with Doug Hawaii and Alana Johnson and a lot of other fine arts, wonderful fine arts teachers. And so we're all kind of in the same boat. There was just a vote on whether we would take on the Copernican model or not, and we're not going to, thank goodness. So there's the possibility that we'll just have 40% attendance in the building, but the rest of it will, I think we're going to have a good team approach where we'll be able to work things so that it works for ourselves and the kids especially, and our colleagues. At Colquitt's, I work with Kelly Montgomery and Caroline McKenzie, also really wonderful team players. So we would go to the principal together to talk about our scheduling. And at the three elementary schools that I work at, I've already asked for the gym, and I am allotted the gym, so I can spread the kids out. It's prep at Cloverdale School, but I will be able to use the gym. And then it's sign up at Cole Marigold and Strawberry Vale, and there I can spread everybody out. So I've already really tried to, you know, get ahead on things and asked for the gym, or I'm prepared to work, you know, with the team that I'm in at my other schools.
Thanks, Karen.
So teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork. There's a couple questions on the side chat. Copernican model, it's basically quarters. So it's linear being full year, semester being half year, courses quarter is the Copernican model, where basically students would spend one part of the year, a whole morning on one class and one afternoon, and an afternoon class. I'm not sure if it still happens, but last school I remember on the island doing it was Couch and Secondary in Duncan, for instance. They run a quarter system.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot to say, I teach itinerant strings.
Yeah.
So that's what I do in Victoria.
Susan Kitty is next. Need to unmute.
I just unmuted myself, thanks. I'm from Nest Elementary in Coquitlam School District, and I did have a good conversation with my principal before I left school, and our staff got together and some timetabling was talked about. So I do know that they're going to have 15 minutes to eat lunch with teachers present in instructional time, and I would assume from that there'll be other elementary schools in Coquitlam doing the same. That way the teachers are able to look after the children with all their hygiene, and then the kids will run outside for three quarters of an hour from 12 to 12:45 and play. I know that they're intending to run a full music prep schedule if school's in session as we normally would. I know that I am using the music room. I've been given permission to do that. We're going to clear out the coral risers. We're going to buy stands to put them in and a dust cover. We're buying new guitars and putting them in stands. And we're going to get a parent to make a stand for our ukuleles. And they'll be able to move right out of the music room if we need more room for social distancing. And she's quite happy for me to set up my program with my ideas, some of which I've actually talked to her about over the past week. My concern would be we share prep with library, and our librarian is our head teacher, and she does the timetabling for the school with the principal and the leadership team. My biggest concern would be having transition time put in between for cleaning, and I have talked to the principal about that, but I have no idea whether that will happen. And the other concern is I'm lucky enough to run one choir rehearsal in school time, and I feel like if we have transition time, we won't have choir time in school this year. And we know already it's going to be a smaller choir, so we can fit them in the gym when we do meet. And I've talked to the principal because I don't know how the singing is for everybody. Yeah, been to all the BCCF things, and I'm a singer myself, and the Choral Canada roundtables, and I'm involved with my church. I know quite a lot about the singing, and I'm being conservative about it and saying maybe we're not even going to sing in person. We're going to have one virtual choir the way we've been doing with teams. And then the other one, we're going to have a social time doing everything else but the singing. We have lots of fun together doing social distancing games and theory and musicianship skills and whatever they'd like to do in that time. So that's our school, but I know that each school is different in Coquitlam, but there'll be a lot of similarities in the way this, the timetabling's put together. So I'm very curious about the transition time. I think we need it to clean things.
Thank you. That actually dovetails into the second question. What are your current concerns? And this is open to everyone. What are your current concerns about scheduling, timetabling that you have at the moment, other than the unknown? I think that's going to be everyone's worry. But
I think when we talk to elementary school teachers at our meetings, we try to be really clear that in order to broach that situation with cleaning, that they would really have to plan to only have only use one music instrument with one class. So if they were doing guitars with the sevens, then nobody else did guitars. If they were doing ukulele with the fives, nobody else did ukulele. So it really requires them to have a mapped out idea of how they're going to move through the classes for the first couple of months of class. But I also think that will relinquish some of the stress of having to clean things. One thing that I did order for every school that didn't have them were boom whackers, because that's something that everyone was using in June, because they're super easy to clean. You just swipe them off real fast with a Lysol wipe and they're good to hand off to the next group of kids. Everyone can play them. It sounds like music. There's pop charts out there. So that's something that all grades can use. So we ordered quite a few of those. And lots of the elementary teachers have already done this, but we're going to make some more of them in September, just the buckets that go from class to that go into a class. So for example, for K-1 or 1-2 classes, you have a bucket, Denise Gagne idea, and just put it together and you bring it, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that kids use, and at the end of the day they just get set on the shelf and the janitors spray them with disinfectant and they're good to go the next day. So just having enough equipment at their hands available to them so that they can actually not have to worry about cleaning things in between classes is really what we're trying to do at this point.
Kathy Fester.
Oh, I'm unmuted. You won't see my face. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for all of your amazing work that you've been doing. Mandar, you've taken the lead with BCMEA, and that's absolutely fabulous. And Janet and others that are coordinators, like, holy cow, like, yeah, thank you. This is very helpful tonight. What my question is, what is your advice in moving forward in terms of process? I'm not too worried at my particular school. I'm really not concerned at my school. I'm thinking more general with other districts that have seemed to have decided what the schedule is going to be even before we know what it's supposed to look like. August, we've all been told that basically in our district that we don't have an answer until the government has told us what that is going to look like. What I'm asking is there anything that we can do now to preempt those conversations, or do we just wait until those announcements? And the only reason I'm asking this is my worry is the administration's going to be so overloaded with whatever the directions are. I know how stressed they have been in the month of June in particular. It's been insane for administrators that for me as a music teacher going to my administrator saying, well, what about music? They can turn around and say, it's the whole school, right? So I'm wondering, it's great to have the conversations, but I was in my school yesterday. They had no intention of spending any time talking to me yesterday, because they had other things they had to do. So in terms of documents and all of this wonderful work that you're doing, how much is the message that BCTF seems to be supporting of music education? How much of that is going to get to the districts and to the superintendents and to the administrators and so forth? And what can we do to help that move along? Or is there anything and we just have to try our best in August? You know, I'll say Surrey, I'm really hoping that they aren't going to Copernican system. I think we're all going to be a hybrid of some sort. Our school's going to be a mix. It's going to be a mix, and other schools are going to be a mix of linear semester, maybe partly Copernicum, but who knows? We don't know until we get those directions in August. So it's more of what is your advice as leaders in the leadership roles that you guys are taking?
Janet and Kristen, we'd published last week the guidelines for music classes. Janet, did you want to talk about the takeaway part that's for admin that's in there?
Yeah, I think, Kathy, I absolutely understand where you're at. I know that even as someone who worked on that document, I absolutely share your concerns, and I think those concerns are all across the province. The first thing that I would do is I would definitely make sure that the key takeaways for administrators from that document lands in their hands in some way, shape, or form. I definitely think I see your question there. Yes, please share it with your administrators and the school boards. But I absolutely believe that if you wait until August to talk to your administrators, I think they're going to make decisions without you. And so I think that it's really important to be talking to them now. And I know that they're not going to want to talk to you because they don't have answers and they feel like they're just going around in circles at this point. But at this point, I really strongly do believe that it's important to still try and engage your administrators. Even just to say, you know, I want to have this conversation. I'm concerned about music. Talk about especially how important music is for kids, for social emotional learning and all of that. And just try and keep that dialogue open with your administrators, because the last thing that you want to do is in some way, shape, or form to get left out of the conversation. I really strongly feel that is probably the best thing that you can do. I also think as well that trying to put my thoughts together on this. I just really think that the more teachers, the more music teachers in the district that can come together and that can present a unified voice, I think will be heard. In my district in Abbotsford, we have put together our own documents as well as the BCMEA one that we did. And we've presented it all the way up to the school board. And we, in my school district, my district has already moved ahead, said they're going to quarters. And so it was a huge blow to us. And we were very upset about it, but everything that we did, we're trying to say, okay, we know we can't influence this decision to go into a quarter system. So what can we influence? And trying to really put together some sort of action plan and some sort of way to keep music alive and healthy while we're in this situation.
Thank you. I just had a thought, and Janet and I had this type of conversation a little while back. Well, probably it was just like a day ago, but it feels like a while back. The quarter system, it actually affects a lot of other subjects, not just music. Because if you talk to any of your colleagues in language arts, sciences, anyone the thought of having to teach 3 hours straight, you know, this and kind of day in, day out, I think regardless, people are going to, I think when people vote on it, I was just kind of reflecting on what Rebecca Norman wrote. I think when people vote on it, they don't really realize what they're voting for, because it can be a drain for 3 hours and whatnot, just doing the same thing over and over again. So have the United Front as music teachers, but then also band together with your other colleagues in other departments, because safety in numbers, and if it seems like everyone has the same thought, then perhaps people will kind of think differently. Next on the speakers list is, I do believe, Tanya. Yes, Tanya. And then Jesse.
Hi. My concern was to do with both exposure, because I teach in an overcrowded elementary school of 600 students. And then the idea of putting together kits, we've been told there's no budget, as our district, Langley, is trying to save money this coming year. So they're cutting back on funding. So there's no budget to make any kits or anything. So we'll have to be, you know, trying to find something somewhere, but also storing 600 kits and cleaning 600 kits just sounds really, really impossible and difficult. I mean, with the online thing and managing 600 students, I was able to do that. And I, you know, if with some kind of blended model, I don't mind being creative. But if anybody has advice on, you know, how to schedule or how to manage to minimize exposure, to make it a safe place for students, to make it so that they can have their music that they love so much, and safe for me as well.
Thank you. Anyone have some ideas? Feel free to put it in the chat, or if people want to pipe up. All right, Tanya. Yes, absolutely, Fiona. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that moving forward, I mean, they don't know what the fall is going to look like, but from what I understand, we're going to be having smaller class sizes as a for sure starting in September, from what I've heard. So therefore, her student load would be a lot smaller than 600 at, you know, in 1 week, I would imagine. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like for each school, but for example, our school, we only had half of our students return for June. And I'm assuming moving forward, that's going to be similar in September, because quite a few of the decisions for students to stay home were for personal reasons from families, and also because they had underlying health conditions. So that might be something, Tanya, also, right? You might not have all of them back. Have you heard anything about that? I mean, I guess they can't really guess, right?
No, they don't really know how many are coming back or aren't coming back. That'll be decided towards August, but I want to look at options before we get to that point. I volunteered to be part of our school's planning team because I want to make sure that my voice is in that environment when they do the planning.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
In terms of the, if you want to at least see what the education restart plan will look like, I'm just going to post the link on the chat that talks about the different stages, not to be confused with the phases that the province experiences. The education stages are slightly different, obviously. In terms of the health and safety, the last email I sent out when we sent out the guidelines for music classes is that we do have one of our board members, Janet, actually, is going to be sitting on one of the working groups, which is part of the Pandemic Planning Steering Committee. So right now she's slated to work with the health and safety part because when they put her name forward, BCTF knew that we were working on the guidelines because they also had sanctioned the same email. By the way, yes, you can send this out to members, that they didn't need to worry too much about programming because Janet and Kristen and everyone else that was involved had already kind of come up with some framework for everyone. So when I'm not sure what the plan is, and Janet has, I think, has her first meeting this week, but she definitely has, she'll hear all of your voices in her head, not in a bad way. So a lot of the health and safety stuff, particularly for our elementary colleagues, is a big concern. So she'll definitely be able to bring that up as well. Jesse is next.
Hi, this is really quick. Just another idea. I was using xylophones. I had already trained my students for the past 2 years. The rule is they don't touch the xylophones, only I do. So that meant that we only had to, they were only touching the mallets, and each class would come in. I had more than enough mallets. And that's just another idea for people to try. Just that's it. Short and sweet.
Thank you. I think at the last town hall, one of our colleagues had mentioned that they were going to do a mallet making workshop with their students at the beginning so that everyone had their own mallets. And that can be easily be done through a lot of different avenues as well. Fiona questions was, we're in stage 2 now, is the fog going to occur in stage 3? It's yet to be determined. It really kind of depends on where we are with numbers and all of those lovely things. I do believe last headline I read from Dr. Henry is that we still need to be, we're basically, you know, cautiously optimistic with a lot of stuff. So, Sean, one of our independent school colleagues.
Of course. Oh, man.
Oh, Sean, did you not want to speak anymore?
Hey, yep. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Oh man, of course the computer chooses to freeze as soon as I try to turn on the camera. Hi, sorry about that. Sean Quick here. I teach at Pacific Christian School in Victoria. Of course I have some of the same concerns that others have. I teach, grade 3 to 7 classroom music and also grade 6 to 12 bands. And I'm thinking of Karen White, my friend from my practicum days at Mount Doug, and other teachers who teach it in different grade levels. My biggest concern is if in September we're in stage two, where the elementary is at full time and the high school is at 40%, almost certainly our high school is going to do something different from usual in terms of schedule, and the elementary is going to be doing a fairly typical looking schedule, maybe with smaller class sizes. Though actually what they've told us about smaller class sizes is if the school is back up to 100% capacity, then that means the province is presuming we can't distance anymore, because we can't have all 450 elementary kids in the building and still maintain distance. So my main concern is, what do I do as a teacher when one of my school buildings, they're right across the parking lot from each other, but if one of my school buildings is back to a typical full-time kind of schedule, and then the other is doing 2 days online, 2 days in person, I just don't even know how to conceive of that. And thinking of Karen in 5 or 6 different schools, different schedules and all that, that's a big concern for me. And I know that's not a music-specific concern, but it also is, like, in terms of scheduling, how do I even make suggestions? At present, our high school isn't scheduling. They're waiting. They're coming up kind of with 3 ideas for stage 3, stage 2, and stage 1. But the elementary is proceeding with a full-time schedule as though we'll be in stage 2 or stage 1. And that's hard because the elementary can plan for most likely we'll be either in this current stage or all the kids will be back, whereas the high school has those 20%, 40%, 100% targets. So, yeah, I don't know if there's any answer to that. It's just a big concern. How do I teach in multiple schools with different schedules? And that's just one little school system, let alone a district.
No, it's a very, very valid question. I had to look again because the writing is so small that stage 2 does say K-7, 100%, 8-12, 40%. That is very odd on why that would be.
Isn't it odd?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, my school is K to 7, 8 to 12, but that's unusual in Victoria. Usually we're K to 5, 6 to 8, and then 9 to 12.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the how other schools are going to handle a difference. Mm-hmm. Where the grades don't line up. And I wonder if there will be something coming from the steering committee about that, because I know that some of the schools, like a middle school 6 to 8, I don't know the how they would handle that, but mm-hmm. yeah, anyway.
It'll be something I'm sure that'll be brought up. Maybe some questions that Jenna will bring up already. I know that the provincial health officer, one of Dr. Henry's team members, is working with the ministry. And I think that person, whoever it is, will be the hopefully giving some guiding principles on what medical stuff to follow in terms of health and safety. But that is a fantastic question for that. Michelle, you had a question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if any of you can share if you've heard anything about elementary children being allowed to sit on the carpet. I know it's at the middle school or high school with band or choir chairs are a thing, but wondering if any of you have had kids sitting on carpet or if you've been told not to do that.
Fiona?
Yeah, we were told in our district that all the carpets had to be removed. In fact, for June, for my music classroom, they took the carpet away, rolled it up, and actually asked me to store it away from where the children were going to be, because I was redeployed as a grade 3 teacher for the last 3.5 weeks, just because we only had half students coming back and we couldn't sing, etc. So they just said for June, no arts. In September moving forward, they're saying that there is going to be the arts education back. They're just not sure what that's going to look like yet, but it sounds like the carpet is out, and that's all carpets in the school. I don't know about other people, what other schools have done, but that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think like area rugs were rolled up in our district too, but a lot of our music rooms have permanent carpet installed. So I just wondered in that scenario if anyone had different instruction or ideas.
I think maybe people are just assuming that non-porous things need to be clean, but I don't think anyone's read any studies on porous surfaces like fabric. So probably just a lot of questions and confusions from everyone. So
thanks.
You're welcome. There was a question about mallets. I just quickly Googled how to make your own xylophone mallet, and that came up. I can't remember the colleague's name who said he's done this before, where he just kind of had the kids make their own mallets. If I can find out, if I remember who it is, then we'll post his name up as well. So if he has any ideas on how to do that. The third question that I had was, so I'll just scroll back up for a moment. Something about admin. Oh, what's your approach with admin when it comes to conversations like this in terms of scheduling, and whatnot, if people have any insights? Speaking for myself, I'm very thankful that the person that I had taken over for 11 years ago coined the phrase, I trained the admin to follow the music department. So every admin that come in, we had the frank discussion about how music is and everything else. We had to, of course, do the song and dance at the very beginning, but ever since then, it's when they need something done, they go to a music teacher. So they know, you know, they always remember that. And so I have been very, very thankful that I've had, that I've been able to have this relationship with them. And the last staff meeting last week, our principal mentioned Copernican and quarter system, and I piped up right away. And I reminded our colleagues, because we do Copernican days at our school for exams, And for classes that don't have exams, we all cringe and go, what are we supposed to do with kids for 3 hours? So I had initiated the conversation saying, you know, it's going to destroy fine arts programs. And my principal agreed. He was like, yep, I know. And then a bunch of people was like, I don't want to deal with Copernican. So, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm lucky enough to have that relationship with admin. Is anyone else like to share how they've approached or would like to approach their admin on having these difficult conversations?
It's Kathy Fester. I think a really good approach is non-confrontational. We as music teachers tend to be incredibly passionate about what we speak to. And if we're too passionate, it can come across the wrong way. So we have to pull that back a little bit, get the message very clear without the rambling and the heart on our sleeve, so to speak, be very factual. These documents you've prepared, as I said, are incredible, incredible resources to share. But I think, again, everybody is in an awkward position. Everybody is trying to save their program. And we have to not be so unilateral with the dialogue. And just non-confrontational, I think, is what I would say as, in terms of advice.
Thank you. Anyone else like to share?
Yep, Mandart, I would just second what Kathy said. I think, you know, I'm sitting here thinking really hard about some difficult conversations I've had with administrators, and I think acknowledging that they have a hard job trying to put together sometimes a really complex timetable with maybe a librarian that only works 2 days a week or part-time teachers that they're trying to accommodate. I think if we as music teachers acknowledge that we understand there's a struggle, that's a great starting place. And also if there's someone in your building that you can align yourself with. For example, I also teach at a high school, so I made time to sit with the PE teacher, and him and I came up with a plan together. So maybe if you're not alone in that and you show that you're really trying to help solve a problem, that might be another suggestion too, as opposed to, as Kathy points out, we're very passionate just going in and rambling. Come in with an action plan with the intent to help.
Thank you. Couple, Janet?
Hi. I absolutely agree with both Kathy and Michelle, and I absolutely think that if you want to get anywhere with administrators, you need to be very cut and dry, very factual. And yes, we want to talk about student social emotional learning because that is one of the big things right now in education. But I also think that if you're approaching them in a way that makes their job easier, that they are more likely going to listen. So if you are sent a schedule and you're like, oh my goodness, this is terrible for music, don't go in there and just say, this is awful, we can't do this, it's not going to work. Go in and say, you know what, I'm concerned about the impact it's going to have on music, but here's a way that we can work within the system. And try to always be very solutions based in everything you do. Keep it open and approach your administrators saying, yes, you've got a hard job right now, and I want to make your job easier by coming up with solutions and helping you. And I think that approach, especially right now, when they have so much on their plate and they have things coming from them from all angles, I think being solutions based and trying expressing that you just want to help and that it's, and especially, as I said before, make it student-centered. It's about the students. It's not about us. It's about students and music. And I think that's extremely, extremely important right now.
Thank you. Just catching up on some of the chat on the side here. Just going back a little bit about carpets. Catherine Rapsett in Burnaby, colleague was told from health safety that COVID doesn't like to hang on synthetic carpet, apparently, so regular vacuuming is only regular vacuuming is required. Jennifer Riley, some elementary teachers have bought Velcro circular patches to put on their floors. And then going back to the scheduling, Rebecca Norman had mentioned that their school has gone into quarter system and majority of the staff wanted the quarter system. Drama and music have come together. Rebecca, I'm wondering if you want to bring in also maybe some of your colleagues in PE as well, because I'm not sure how they feel about 3 hours of the same kids for PE every day. It's a lot. And honestly, I'm very surprised that a lot of your colleagues at your school said, you know, they would like to stay in the quarter system for everything. Anyone else have anything to add? Janet.
Sorry, I just wanted to speak to what Rebecca said, where you're saying that you're concerned that your creative solution won't be accepted at the district level. I absolutely hear you, because that's the where we were at in Abbotsford, and be prepared for all eventualities. And I hate to say that, but be prepared, and especially be prepared with solutions. So if you've tried to work on ways to make it happen outside the timetable, I think is what you said. Yeah, outside of the schedule. If you're working in an extended day kind of a situation, it's more likely going to be approved. This year, for the very first time in almost 20 years of teaching, I had to submit an extended day schedule for approval. And I just about fell over when I was asked for that. My first, second, and third draft of my schedule was not approved. But just keep on going back and do your best, and you know, reach out to colleagues, reach out to people, because we all want to help you right now. And we want to, you know, we are all in this together, to be very honest, across the province. You know, I know that we've spent a lot of time, and I'm sorry to my elementary colleagues, we've spent a lot of time talking about high school schedules, but what happens with you guys, it affects us. Everything is one feeds into the other, right? And so I just want to make sure that, you know, please reach out to colleagues if you need someone, if you need help. You know, my email address is out there. You are very welcome to contact me, and I don't have all the answers, but I'm just one of the many people that are so willing to help. And I know that a lot of people are. So just remember that.
Following up some of the chat on the side. Susan, you mentioned that SC43 music programs, elementary music preps being replaced by technology preps. Because fine arts curriculum is in place for K-8. How is your district managing the fine arts curriculum then, if it's being changed into technology?
Menda, can I speak?
Absolutely, yes.
I'll put my camera on there. It's just something we noticed in June when they were advertising jobs for teachers. In three positions, they mentioned that technology was a possibility along with music or instead of music. It might say and or it might say or. And in fact, teachers moving from those positions were warning us of that, and then when it came down to giving the position to someone, it turned out the principal had actually chosen technology for one reason or another in the case of three positions. So we're looking at it and we're watching, because we don't want to see that as a pattern, but we understand why, because when you talk to classroom teachers and you're in that system of online learning, that the young children had a struggle learning Microsoft Teams. And it impacted their, you know, some students were impacted in their ability to learn during that time. So it's happened before in our education system where technology seems to be the thing you want to teach to children so they can do their literacy and numeracy. So that's our position. We're just watching because we don't want that to happen too much. And if it's temporary, fine. But if it's a pattern, then yeah, it comes back to the fact that music is part of our curriculum and needs to be delivered.
Thank you for that. Patty, you had a question about your admin, and Michelle had a question for you as well, but Patty, could you, do you mind to care to explain?
Yes, so they haven't moved admin around in our district for a long time now, and they've decided this is the year before all this happened that they're moving everybody. So out of our, like, I'm from Cranbrook, and it's Cranbrook and Fernie, but I'm just talking about the Cranbrook part of it. So we have 10 schools, and there are 5 schools that will have new principals in their schools. And you kind of have a relationship with the principal that you had for 7 years, and you've talked a little bit, and then it's like, okay, where do we go from here? Because I've got a new person coming in. We may or may not get to keep our vice principal. There's a new posting and something might change. So I may be walking into a situation with 2 brand new administrators, and just where do you start this when they don't really take over until August? But I know we have been very proactive, the elementary teachers, and we met with our director of instruction about our elementary band and explaining where there could be concerns come the fall. And we had a great meeting with them. And they have received, yesterday I got an email forward that was the document that the BCMEA and Coalition of Music BC put together. And they said, well, here's the information. And I said, oh, okay, I was going to send that to you guys. So it's out there. They've sent it all to the VPs and the men. But where do you go? Do you just leave them, like, they don't really take over to August, so do you just leave them or be proactive? Or if they're not even looking kind of at what's happening coming into the school because they're still dealing with their old school, what do you do? Or do you think the principals will talk to each other? And like, our district supports music, and we have music K to 12 in all our schools, but what do you do with all of this?
Thank you for letting us know what's going on in Cranbrook and Fernie, and the fact that I was going to bring that up, that the coalition had sent out to all the admin the document. So that's great that the conversation has started. My thought is have, like we mentioned before, have that solution-based information ready to go. I guess going back to Michelle's question, do you know who your new admin is coming in?
Know who they're coming in, but they're coming from middle school to elementary. So this is a big switch for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been big switch, elementary to middle school and middle school to elementary. So that's a big change for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you would hope, yeah, you would hope the VP would be the transition person. You have had some conversations, but they, like when I talked about timetable and that, and they said it's just kind of on hold until the fall. We want to kind of keep things the way that we had them this year. So, and waiting to see. So that's kind of good too, if they're not looking at doing major changes.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, did you want to chime in as your position as a VP?
Sure. Yeah, I know out here, even though admin contracts are dated July 31st, those administrators that are getting moved here have been visiting their future schools and sitting down and meeting with current admin in the building. I do wonder if you have a relationship with your current admin. Maybe it's possible, again, with the solution-based plan in mind, to create even just a simple one-page document with your current admin to have ready to hand to your new admin kind of the second you meet them. I suspect if they're taking over a new school in COVID time, jumping from middle to elementary, they would be grateful to have the sort of stamp of approval from the administrator that was there before them and to just kind of put this plan in place, potentially. And then the other thing, and I saw Janet kind of shaking her head too, if you know who these people are, start firing the emails. Like, get at them right away so that they know, hey, there's someone here that wants to help me, or, oh, wow, the school I'm going to is concerned with music. Okay, I better think about that. Or again, send them that document that you and your current administrator have come up with.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Is this a new area, and what it's time to be moving everybody, but it's the year that it happens. So thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions or concerns that haven't been brought up yet? If anything comes up, you all have my email address and contact information. I'm quickly gonna actually do a screen share just to show you the music resource room. That's not it. That is xylophone things. Oops. So I had put this in the chat. So the music resource room is part of the document of the guidelines for music classes. So on here, I've basically made it as a blog. So on the side here, you will see the different topics that certain things will come up. So if I'm looking up for mentorship, for instance, that was one of the, can't find of a better name, but teacher connections. So if there's any teachers out there who feel comfortable in helping another music teacher about something non-music is actually essential. What I put on there was non-music, timetabling, budgeting, work with men, etc. You know, you click here, or if you're a teacher, newer teacher that needing some help, or a teacher that, you know, is facing new admin and you're looking for someone to help, you know, you can do something like that. So as new things come up, that's where it's going to be put. Or if you have any ideas, there's the idea upload thing where it brings you to a Google form and you just fill out the form if you're putting an online resource or an idea, anything that case may be. It doesn't have to be COVID specific. We did start with it for COVID, but I think once it gets eradicated and all that sort of stuff, then it'll be there forever. So you can look through as much as you would like, and it's all kind of connected there. Hopefully that will alleviate some stress as we enter into the fall. So thank you for everything to everyone. I know the last 3 months, the year has been hard, and the last 3 months have just been absolutely weird. We'll just leave it at weird. So thank you for keeping in there, keep hanging in there. And we're going through this together. And like I mentioned in the last, if you're at the last one, it's, you know, time to don't think of everything as a box. We're working with an amoeba that's constantly changing. Do take the time right now to rest. And I know it's really difficult to say that, but do take some time for yourself. And we've been hanging out with our family a lot, so maybe go for a walk on your own and see if the kids can fend for themselves for a few minutes, or your loved ones. we're almost at the 90 minute mark. Is there anything else people would like to add or have any other questions? All right. I think maybe what we'll do in a couple of weeks, we'll send out another email out to the listserv, see if anybody has any questions about stuff, and we can have another town hall as needed. But thank you again. Yes, happy Canada Day tomorrow. Enjoy whatever festivities you're going to have in your household. And thank you so much, and relax and as much as you can and have some rest. Have a great night, everyone. I'll be posting up the recording of this probably in the next hour or so.